Welcome to the weekly podcast of Covenant Grace Menifee. Each week, we gather to better understand the teachings of the Bible and how to live them out in our daily lives. We hope and pray that you're encouraged by this week's message.
Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. As I start to speak, you're going to notice something right off the bat. So I'm just going to address the elephant in the room. Yes, I got a new haircut. No, I'm just kidding. I lost my voice yesterday, so just bear with me. So before I start, let me just pray to start the service so that my voice isn't a distraction to you and not a distraction to me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you, Almighty God, would be with us this morning. We thank you for every Lord's Day meeting us, being with us, giving us exactly what we need. I ask that through the reading of your word, through the preaching of your word, you would meet with us today. Lord Jesus, just like you met with Mary, just like you met with the other disciples, and just like 8 days later you met with Thomas, we ask, Lord Jesus, meet with us. I am confident that you will do that. You do that every Sunday. I've seen it happen over and over again in my life and in other people's lives. Holy Spirit, fill us right now. Give us yourself. And give us ears to hear. And as we hear your word being preached, that we would receive it as your own very words from the mouth of God. Because we know all Scripture is breathed out by you. And it's profitable for us to equip us and to train us. And so we ask, equip us, fill gaps in our faith this morning, and strengthen us. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So last week, Eric gave a beautiful message about the resurrection of our Lord. And he shared the story earlier in John chapter 20 of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene, she was in deep despair, yet Jesus turned her deep despair into hope. She was in deep grief, but the appearance of Jesus turned her deep grief into joy. And Jesus, the risen Lord, gives all of us that opportunity. He could take our hopelessness in this world and turn it to true hope. He can give us faith. He can solve our greatest need. And last week, when he was talking about the proofs of the resurrection, about the proofs of the empty tomb, and how we can historically believe in this book, these collections of letters that we have from the apostles, how we can historically believe in them as trustworthy and reliable. Man, last week, I felt the Lord meet with me, and I didn't know I had some gaps in my faith that needed to be filled. But as I was listening to it, I felt the Lord meeting me and filling gaps. It was beautiful. And I was just thinking about it. You know, I know the Lord has met me. I know that the Lord has saved me. And he lays this foundation, right, of like concrete, let's say. But as my life goes on, concrete gets harder and harder. And as it's left in the elements, what happens? It starts to deteriorate, starts to crack because it gets drier. And at work, I work for Metropolitan Water District, and we have this big building, this big concrete building that holds a lot of water. And I don't think the contractors did that well of a job. But as the concrete hardens, cracks in the walls are starting to form, and water is starting to leak through. So every couple years, what they have to do is have a contractor come out, drill holes, and fill it with this stuff to seal it. I remember one time I saw water literally squirting out of it. I was like, oh, that's a little scary. But again, as just like that, right, the Lord has saved us, laid a foundation. And I think that's true for a lot of us. And as life goes on, as our faith starts to settle, as that experience and that meeting with Jesus starts to settle, we feel cracks in that foundation. And we need the Lord to meet us again to fill those cracks. Amen? Does that make sense? And last week, seriously, as I was listening to the word being preached, I felt the Lord filling those cracks that I didn't even know were there. And it was amazing. And so the reason why I share this is because this is what I think is happening in the disciples' lives as they're experiencing this. So after Mary gets to see the risen Lord, she goes and tells the disciples. Peter runs to the tomb. And then they're all in chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. They're all in this room, locked inside. Why? Because they're scared of dying just like Jesus. Even though they just heard Mary say, he's risen, he's alive again, they're scared and they lock the door because of fear of the Pharisees, the fear of people coming to kill them because they're followers of Jesus. And then that same day, Jesus just appears to them and they believe. He says, peace to you. And they were scared and they said, are you a ghost? And he's like, can ghosts do this? Can ghosts eat? Here, touch me, feel me. Do ghosts have flesh and bone? No. And they believed. But then, right after he leaves, Thomas comes in, and he just misses it. So look at our passage real quick, verse 24. So right after that experience of Jesus blessing his disciples, breathing on them, saying, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. He leaves. Now, verse 24. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. So these disciples are all filled with so much encouragement and joy and excitement. They burst out and tell Thomas, like, you just missed him. He's alive again. And he's like, nope. And he has doubts. He says, if I don't see him myself, I will not believe. And you would think that the other disciples would stay in this high because they saw the risen Lord. But what happens? Look at verse 26. 8 days later. So real quick, in this tradition, they would add the day that they're in. So this would be the following Sunday. So this would be today. 8 days later after Easter, which would be today for them. Us would be 7 days. This is happening. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Why is that important? Well, because these disciples who last week their doors were locked and Jesus appeared. Why were their doors locked and why is that significant? It's because they were scared. It's because they didn't believe. It's because they were doubting, just like Thomas. But Jesus showed himself. And again, you would think they would stay on this high and believe, yet they locked themselves in their room again the next week, even though they saw the risen Lord. So what's happening? Them, just like Thomas, though they've seen the risen Lord, are doubting again, and they need another appearance. Isn't that cool? Like, just like us, man, as I heard the Word of God preached last week, what happened to me? I see myself throughout the week fizzle at times, and then I need to see him again the next Sunday. I need to see him again the next day. I need to encounter him in the Word of God. I need to encounter him in my relationships with people. I need to encounter him in my prayer life. And same with these disciples. Though it's the focus is on Thomas, they're just like him. They're doubting, even though they did feel him. They did grab his hands, and they did hug him. And they're doubting again. They're locked in the room, but the focus is on Thomas. And so look at how cool this is. So starting again in verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas this time was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." The thing that's so amazing about this passage is that, and I think why people love it so much, is that all of us have doubts. All of us go throughout our lives doubting something about God or some promise that God has given us. And here, Jesus shows up again in their locked room and answers the very specific doubt that Thomas has. Jesus was not there when Thomas doubted that, when Thomas proclaimed that. Jesus didn't talk to the other disciples and say, "Hey, what was Thomas's doubts?" No, Jesus is Almighty God, omnipresent. He knows his people, and he knows what they need, and he speaks directly to his doubt. And I know for me and for you, hasn't he done that? Hasn't he spoken directly to you? What is your doubt? And I just ask this morning, if you have any doubts, please bring it to the Lord. Please bring it to us. Bring it to the people here. And let the Spirit work through his people and answer your doubt. It won't be exactly like Thomas's story, right? Coming and seeing the risen Lord and getting to feel, you know, put your finger through the hole or put your hand on the side. But it's going to do the exact same thing that happened with Thomas. It's going to fill the gap in your faith and give you what you need to exclaim, "My Lord and my God." Isn't that good? Isn't that true? Hasn't that happened to you? And I'm not going to be doing some crazy exegetical things in this passage, but I just want to do a basic message on, as we go, we start to doubt. And as we go, we start to have cracks in our faith, and the Lord will meet us again. And some of you may be really dry, just like my voice. I had to say that because I know some of you were thinking it. And he will meet you there, and he'll fill those gaps. It's amazing. And I've seen it time and time again in this church, people coming in dry, and the Lord answering their doubts, giving them refreshment, meeting with them. Amen? Hasn't that happened? He's to be praised, and he is a risen Lord that still meets with his people today. And so I wanted to share another passage. Look at Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 3, starting in verse 1. So Galatians 3, starting in verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. The reason why I share this verse is because it's an the people of Galatia were nowhere near where Jesus was crucified. Yet he says to them, who has bewitched you? Wasn't it before your eyes that Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? So what's happening there? It's that through the preaching of Paul's message, Paul's gospel, or God's gospel through Paul, it was as if they saw Jesus crucified, because through the preaching of the word, the Spirit met them, opened their eyes, and gave them the ability to see it and believe it. Though they were not there, they experienced something through the preaching of the word that was as if they were actually there. And he's saying, hey, who has tricked you? Who has put a spell over you to get you to forget that you saw Jesus crucified? You experienced Jesus crucified. Isn't that true for us? Like, though we have not, like Thomas, put our fingers in his wrist or our hand in his side, we have experienced the risen Lord. We have publicly seen him crucified. Yet what is happening to us? So just like the disciples, sometimes we don't go into a room and lock the doors, but we all have our own rooms that we walk into and hide behind, that we return to out of fear, out of doubts. Whatever it is, what have you turned to again? And what does the Lord need to bring you out of again? And where is the Lord calling you? So who has bewitched us? Wasn't it before your eyes that Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified? You know, just like Thomas, we do not see him, but we believe in him. We don't get to see the risen Lord like Paul did or the disciples did, but the risen Lord still meets with us. Look at John chapter 10. And as you're turning there, in John chapter 6, 44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And then in John chapter 10, it's this beautiful picture of who Jesus is. Jesus is the good shepherd. So look at John chapter 10, starting in verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he has a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Look at verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Isn't that beautiful? Like, what has happened to us is that the risen Lord has spoken our names. Just like Mary, just like Thomas, he comes and he says, Mary. And that's when she knows it's Jesus. Even though before he was speaking to her, she thought he was the gardener. And he says her name, Mary, nothing else. He calls her. His sheep know his voice. He calls Thomas. And it doesn't ever say Thomas actually put his fingers in his hole, in the hole, into his side. It never says that. But it's once he says Thomas and speaks to him, that's when he falls on his face and says, my Lord and my God. And hasn't that happened to us? Like for me, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, has called my name. He called me through a friend named Jamal, who wasn't my friend at the time. Most of you know him. He called my name through a weird guy wearing a Speedo. A story for another time. But it's true. I was at LA Fitness. This guy came up, and the Lord was speaking through him. I was like, okay, he could do anything. And then I started to have doubts. The Lord was calling me to a deeper relationship with him. And I remember driving from LA Fitness going, Lord, I can't do it. I cannot do it. No one my age is doing this. And again, Jamal pops up. He was the same age, following the Lord. I can't do this. I can't do this, Lord. What are you calling me to? Why do you keep taking things from me? I can't do this. And then the next day, the Lord spoke to me through my sister, telling me a story about my dad. And I remember driving on Antelope Road, having this experience where the Lord met me. I am confident of it. And I could not stop crying. I could not stop confessing, okay, whatever you're doing, stop. But I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. But whatever you're doing, stop. Please. Because it felt like he was tormenting me. But it's because no one can come to the Father unless he draws you. And he was drawing me. And it's amazing to talk to new believers because they all have that experience of going, I don't know what was happening, but something changed in me. And I wanted to share, you know, all of us have these stories. That's amazing. I was listening to someone last week and the week before tell me that they were just sitting in their room and they just feel different. And they can't explain what's happening to them, but they want to get baptized. And I said, well, that's the Lord drawing you. Isn't that amazing? We've all had those stories, but as life goes on, we start to doubt those stories, that experience, because again, we're getting dry and we need 8 days later the Lord to show up again and to fill in those cracks. And he does time and time again. Are you dry? Keep coming to the Lord. Keep coming to Sunday. Keep coming into community. Do what he calls you to do. And that experience will happen again because we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior who lives and moves and interacts and speaks with his people. And I wanted to share this quote from C.S. Lewis. Because C.S. Lewis was an atheist before he came to faith. To one of his good friends, Arthur Greaves, he wrote, I believe in no religion. There is absolutely no proof for any of them. And from a philosophical standpoint, Christianity is not even the best. And then 15 years later, he writes to the same guy. And see what happens. Christianity is God expressing himself through what we call real things, namely the actual incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection. What happened to this guy? And to the same guy, he says, I have just passed on from believing in God to definitely believing in Christ. In Christianity. I will try to explain this another time. My long night talk with Dyson and Tolkien had a good deal to do with it. Isn't that amazing? What happened to this guy? He says, I'll try to explain it later. He's like, it doesn't make sense. But what happened? He He says in his book, Surprised by Joy, "You must picture me alone in that room at Magdalene, night after night, feeling whenever my mind lifted for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet, that which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed, perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. What happened to him? The risen Lord kept hounding him and going after him until he believed." And that's what's happened to me. And if you're in here believing in Christ, that's what happened to you. Though we have different stories, we did not put our fingers in his hands, in his side, but we have met with the risen Lord, and that's the only thing that can explain the faith that we have in Jesus. Amen? And so all of us, when we experience that person, we all, just like Thomas, confess, "My Lord and my God." Look again at the passage. Verse 27. "Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" So what is Jesus saying right here? The word blessed means to be happy, but also what it also means is when the Lord sees us as blessed, it's that we have great favor upon us from God. And so he's saying, blessed are those who believe in me, who have not seen me, who have not had the same experience as you, Thomas, who, yes, had the facts, but didn't see me, so you didn't believe. Had the stories and didn't believe until you saw me. Blessed are those who do not see me, but believe. And what's really cool is he's saying, like, there's more favor on us. Isn't that cool? And Peter in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, he says the same thing. Blessed are those who don't even see, haven't seen him, but yet believe in him. And what's cool for me is as I read this text, and as I was studying this text, I have never really doubted that Jesus resurrected from the tomb. I heard it all my life. Never really doubted it. Yes, the facts of the resurrection, the historical accounts help me with even believing it more. But I have always kind of doubted, and still at times have temptation to doubt, that he resurrected for me and that it's for us now. Because that's a long time ago. He was talking to certain people, and sometimes I just think I was born too late. Like, okay, we're too far removed. That's not for me anymore. But what's really cool is that Jesus, as you look at these written accounts of him, he's always thinking of us. Even in this, he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe." Who are they? They're us. It's the people 10 years after this account. It's the people 1,000 years after. And Jesus was even in, look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. In this high priestly prayer, before he goes to the cross, he says, he's asking that the disciples would be one, just as he and the Father are one. But then in verse 20, he says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus always had us in mind. Isn't that amazing? So even in his high priestly prayer, he's going, "I'm not just praying for these people. I'm not just dying for these people. I'm praying for the people who will believe through them. And haven't we believed through them? Look what we're doing this Sunday. We're reading their account, their testimony, and believing it by faith. And what's so cool is that the risen Lord meets us and does something that no mere man can do. We get to encounter the living God every Sunday. And it's amazing. And I hope the Lord has done that for you recently. I hope the Lord has done that to you today. I hope the Lord will do that for you this week. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to Him. He will meet with you. And He'll give you those experiences. You know, I don't think those experiences are proof of our salvation, but it is sure great to have them. And it's so kind of our God to do that for us. And I am confident that He'll meet with you. Are you dry? Are you burdened? Ask Him. Meet with me. And the thing is He wants you. And He's calling you to something. Trust Him. Believe Him. He'll meet with you. And then lastly, the last couple verses in the passage, in just way of encouragement, look at, so John chapter 20, starting in verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And then look at 21, chapter 21, starting in verse 25. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Isn't that amazing? Why is John writing this? So that we may believe that Jesus is the only Son of God. That He is the Messiah, that He is the chosen one, the one to save us from our sins. That He was the one who died and 3 days later rose. That He is the one that still speaks. He is the one that His blood saves and gives us what we need. And then He says at the end, and if we were to try and write everything that He did, all the books in the world couldn't contain it. And as I read that, it's so cool because it is so true. And He's just talking about the experience of Him in the 3 years. Look at what Jesus has done in His life since then. Imagine writing every testimony of every person that has experienced the risen Lord. Jesus on the cross dies for our sins. And 3 days later, proves that He has power over death, that He will do the same for us by raising Himself from the dead. And these testimonies go out about His work, and they start to transform all people, all kinds of people, taking us, like me, a little pothead, a little drunkard, a little womanizer, a little porn addict. And He starts to transform me and change me and give me new life. I did not want to live that life. I said I couldn't do it, even when He was calling me. But He kept calling my voice and calling me again and calling me again. He is the only reason I'm here. He is the only reason I have the kids I have. He's the only reason I'm still, I think, alive. He's the only reason I believe. It's because He gave Himself for me, and He still lives on to this day doing work. All the books in the world could not contain the works of Jesus because it's still going. It's still happening. It's happening right now to us. It happened last week for me. All the books in the world could not contain the works of Jesus. Now, Christian, go tell your testimony to your neighbor. Go tell your testimony to your coworker. And see the risen Lord interact with them. See Him do the same thing for them as He did for us. Amen? Amen? And He will. He will. His sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. He is the good shepherd that gives Himself for His sheep. His sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. He has more sheep in this world. Let's go. Let's be overjoyed by interacting with him. Let's be overjoyed by him meeting with us. And let's go and share our testimony. Let's share the facts of the resurrection. Let's show the proofs of Jesus. But also, that will not always save somebody. What they need is Jesus to meet with them and to call their voice. And as the facts are there, and the truths of the gospel are there, and Jesus calls their name, they will, just like us, confess, "My Lord and my God." And he will say, "Blessed are you who have not seen me, yet believe in me." So blessed are you, Covenant Grace, who have believed in Jesus, though you've never seen him. But you believe him because you trust the written word of Scripture, and you've heard him call you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a good God to us. You are such a good dad to us. I feel so unworthy to have the life that I have. I feel I'm just thankful. I'm overjoyed as I look at my kids. I just am amazed at your goodness towards me and your kindness towards me, though I fail even them. As I look at the job I have, I'm amazed at your provision for me. As I look at the health I have, I'm amazed at your kindness towards me. As I look at the friends I have, the family I have, I see your gracious hand holding me. And especially as I look at the faith that I have, it is not my faith, it has been given to me through you. I am greatly and deeply thankful for your work. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for calling us. We love you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, taking all of our sins and nailing it to that cross, dealing, absorbing all of that sin. You who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So thank you for that. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting us each day, for calling us back, for bringing Scripture to our minds, for bringing people into our minds that we should reach out to, and for people doing that for me. We ask that you would speak to us this morning, speak to us this week. Help us to preach your word. Help us to share our testimonies. And please meet with the people that we interact with this week. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can email us at info@covgracemenifee.org. May the Lord bless your week and guide your steps.